The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I want to talk about unwrapping the gifts and how important it is for us to recognize that, everyone in the body of Christ has gifts. Gifts and gifting. You have a gift or gifts that have been imparted to you when you receive Christ as your personal Savior. There are a lot of things about gifts that we need to talk about, and I'm going to try to explain what it means to have and operate in these gifts. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, it says this, "For I would that all men were even as myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that." And Paul is making mention of the reality that there's all kinds of gifts. And he was just mentioning one of the gifts that he was having in how he had in his life, celibacy. He would that all would be able to concentrate completely and totally on God. That was a gifting that God placed in his house, in his life. But he's saying not everybody has that gift. Not everybody has all the gifts. We have been called, equipped, and gifted in various ways for the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ can be full and complete in accomplishing God's work, and God's kingdom. Excuse me. So it's important that we understand that there are many, many gifts in the body of Christ, and we all have gifts. A lady was, it was Christmas time, and she was really rushing around to get things done, and she decided that she was going to get some cards for a few people, about 50 people, and she ran out and got a pack of cards, Christmas cards, without even looking at what the message was on it, and she was in such a hurry that she didn't pay any attention to what was written on it, and she signed them and sent them out to all her friends and family, 50 people. And after Christmas, she got she sat down and she was relaxing a little bit, and she picked up one of the cards and she realized the card said this: "This card is just to say a little gift is on its way." She was devastated. She didn't know what she was going to do because she was not able to provide those 50 gifts for people. But I want you to understand something. God sends us a message. His message is, you are gifted. You have gifts that are to be used in the body of Christ and for the kingdom of God. And when God promises, he gives. He's going to provide. He will make sure that you have the giftings that you need to accomplish the ministry that he's called you to. Spiritual gifts are key to abundant living. I'm convinced of that. If we're going to live in an abundant life that Jesus said that we can have, we overcome the enemy, the thief comes to steal, but God said that Jesus Christ came to give us life and give it in an abundant way. Abundance beyond measure, more than enough. The kind of things that we need in our life. God has promised that that's what he is going to do through his son Jesus Christ. So in order to experience this special gifting, I believe what we need is to be serious about understanding the gifts. So what is a spiritual gift? A spiritual gift is this. It's a distinctive ability given by Holy Spirit to every Christian according to God's grace and design for the purpose of building up the body of Christ and ministering effectively. Now listen, let's kind of dissect that just a little bit, because spiritual gifts are given for a purpose, for ministering to the body of Christ. We have spiritual gifts that are supposed to be in operation in this place when we come together as believers. But it's more than that. Spiritual gifts are given to individuals so that ministry can take place, not just in the body, but ministry takes place wherever we go, in the marketplace, in our daily lives, in our homes. Whatever we're doing, ministry takes place. And gifts are abundantly provided so that that can happen. If you're sitting on your gifts, you're being selfish. Listen to what God wants for you. He wants you to have that abundant life. And abundant life means that you use your gifts. You recognize, but you got to have the right perspective about these gifts. We can't look at these gifts and say, well, there are better gifts than other gifts. You know, we tend to think as believers in Christ that, and part of the body, that the special gifts, the best gifts, are the ministry gifts, up front pulpit ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. We have a tendency to think that those are the best gifts, or musician, or something that really seems to be making a difference in people's lives. But that's not the case. The gifts, no matter what gift you are, if you have the gift of helps, it's just as important as any other gift. We have to get the right perspective on this. I remember this story that I read many years ago about a guy that was walking along, and he came upon this stone quarry, and men were hewing out stones. And he went along, and he saw this first guy, and he asked him, he said, "What are you doing?" And the guy was a little indignant with him. He was a little upset that he was bothering him. He said, "Can't you see? I'm hewing this stone." So he went on to the next guy, and he said, "What are you doing?" And the guy said, "I'm making $500 a week." Okay, he went to the next guy, and he said, "What are you doing?" The guy put down his tools, stood up, and he stuck out his chest, and he said, "I'm building a great cathedral." It was all of them doing exactly the same thing, but they had a different perspective on what they were doing. And if we get the right perspective on the gifting that God has placed in our lives, it doesn't matter what it is. You will recognize that you are a part of building the kingdom of God in this earth. That you are a part of doing something very significant. And one day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because you used the gifting that he placed in your life. Our perspective is so very, very important. Using your gift is cooperating with the kingdom of God. So let's look. First thing I want to share with you this morning is that everyone receives gifts. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." Very clear. We're in this body, but we're not all going to have the same abilities and functions in this body. In the body. "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of this one body." Now, we are a member of this local body, but we are a member of the worldwide body of Christ. All over the world, there's a body of Christ, and we're a part of that. But as the local body, we get to function in this place together to accomplish God's work in our area. Verse 6. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith." Next. "Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now, listen, we look at these, and really, is mercy a gift? Absolutely. Giving? Yes, God places this gift of giving in individual lives. If you have the gift of giving, you recognize that you get great joy out of being able to give. And that's awesome. That's an awesome gift. As pastor, what I want is God to impart the ministry and the gift of giving to the whole congregation. Amen? That's just That's my desire. I want us all to be about giving and understand the importance of giving, because giving releases so much in our life. When we let go of things, we release things. Fear, we release temptation, we release bondage of all kinds in our life. When we give, we are releasing things, our life to God, and that's so important. All right, next. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So, as we look at the giftings and the different gifts, we recognize that you can pray and ask God for gifts, but you must understand it's the Holy Spirit that imparts these gifts, and He distributes those gifts as He wills. And we need to just accept that fact, that that's the way Holy Spirit works in our life, and He works in the church. It doesn't mean that you're limited to just one gift or a couple gifts. It means that you're to take the gifting that you have and begin to use it in your life with expectation that if you use it, God will cause it to grow abundantly in your life and give you opportunity for new giftings in your life. It's an awesome opportunity when we begin to recognize that this gift in my life has been given to me to minister to other people. Then those giftings begin to grow. Doesn't mean that you're going to be limited. It means that you need to use what you have. And if you don't, you become a useless part of the body of Christ. You know, you've seen people before who've had paralysis, maybe in their arm or leg. And you see what happens to that limb when they have paralysis? It begins to wither up and die. That's what happens to the body of Christ when we fail to use the gift that God has placed in us, whatever that gifting is, we begin to wither up and die. We may not think so, but I can tell you this, if you're not growing and moving forward with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're dying spiritually. You're withering up. You know, faith without works is dead. That's what happens to us. We die. We've got to have works in our lives, because it shows the world and it shows the body of Christ that we're alive, that something's happening. If you'd use them, exciting things will happen in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Amen. Holy Spirit is actually the gift, and that's what we need to recognize. Holy Spirit's the gift, but He distributes these grace gifts in our life, and He distributes them as He wills, because He's the power. Holy Spirit is the power in our life. Holy Spirit is the impetus that causes us to move forward. Spiritual gifts are given not for competition in the body of Christ, so we got to move away from that kind of thinking. It's brought in our lives for cooperation, so that we can all cooperate together. A man told a story about his 6-year-old son. It was his birthday was approaching, and he asked his son what he wanted, and his son, "Oh, I don't know, Dad." And it was unusual, because this son was the kind of son that when he wanted something, he could tell you what store you could find it in, what aisle it was in, and how much it cost. But he said, "This time, I don't know." And the dad thought it was kind of strange, so he said, "What do you want?" And he said, "Well, Dad, if you want, you could get me a football, or you could get me a soccer ball." He said, "Well, there's a lot of difference. What are you talking about? He said, well, Dad, if you have time to spend with me this year to throw the football, I'd like for you to get me a football. But if not, give me a soccer ball because I can play with my friends the soccer ball. Dad said, well, let me surprise you. They went in and he talked to Mom. And as they talked about it, here's what they realized. That the son was more interested in the giver than he was the gift. That's where we have to be. We have to be more interested in the giver of the gifts. When we get serious about the giver of the gifts, the gifting that we have really isn't inconsequential in our life. What's it matter? As long as we have that relationship with the giver. That builds us up. That builds up the body of Christ. That encourages us. Second thing I'll share with you, desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Desire means to be zealous about it. Have a burning desire for spiritual gifts. Recognize that these spiritual gifts are a part of being in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:28-31. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Of course, it's a rhetorical question. Of course not. But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Earnestly desire, burn with desire for the best gift. Now, I think we interpret that scripture sometimes in a wrong fashion. What is the best gifts? The best gifts are not pulpit ministry gifts. The best gifts are whatever you need in the particular situation. You know, as pastor, it's awesome to have been called and gifted to pastor this church and to walk in the gifting that God has given me. But there are times that I need other things in my life. I need other gifts in my life. If I encounter somebody who's demon-possessed, I can't stand there and preach the demon out of somebody. I better have the power to deliver them in the name of Jesus, deliverance ministry. I need a different gifting for a different situation. When we need somebody for hospitality, we don't get the mumbling and grumbling person in the congregation to show hospitality. We get the person that has hospitality in their soul, that's excited and wants to minister to people and show hospitality. The giftings are different. And none of us should be that mumbling, grumbling person. Amen? Okay? But there are people that have the special gift of hospitality. And it's awesome to see it working in the body of Christ. Use it. It's not a lesser gift. It's a great gift. But earnestly desire whatever gift is necessary for what God has called you to. I believe that's what he's telling us. Earnestly desire. Burn with a desire for the right gifting. We got to get away from this feeling of inadequacy because we're not something somebody else is. I can't measure myself by somebody else. I can't measure myself. You know, I like Jensen Franklin. He's awesome. I listen to him quite often. But I can't measure myself by Jensen Franklin. If I try to measure myself by Jensen Franklin, I'm going to be a miserable pastor. He pastors a church of thousands. He's an awesome speaker. He's incredible. He's doing all kinds of things all over the world. I can't measure myself by Jensen Franklin. I can look at Jensen Franklin and say, man, that's an awesome example. I should strive for those kind of things in my life. But I can't say, God, I'm a lesser human being because I'm not a Jensen Franklin. We can't do that. It'll destroy you. Accept the things that God has placed in your life. Use what he has given you. Take opportunity for you to use the gifting that he's placed inside of you. And the incredible things will happen. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, "So you should earnestly desire," this is the New Living Translation of that scripture, "so you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. But now let me show you a way of life that is best of all." And of course, the apostle goes on to talk about love. Love is most important. But we also have to have these gifts in our life as well. I hear people say to all the time, "But I'm just not gifted. God has not gifted me." Listen. God has said he has gifted. He's gifted every person in the body of Christ. So please, don't call God a liar. Just seek him. We have a class. We have a spiritual gifts class where we walk people through the different gifts. We talk about each and every gift. And then at the end, we have a little, we call it a test, but it's not really a test. It's a thing to help you assess what your spiritual gifts are, and it's incredibly accurate. It's really good. So I'd encourage you to get involved with that and so that you can understand your spiritual gift. But we have to recognize that God has given this, and he's instilled it in our lives, and we need to recognize these gifts and not just put it aside. Can you, as a parent, when my children were growing up, if I would have, for a birthday or Christmas or whatever, I had given them a gift, and they just took that gift and said, "Oh, this is nice, thank you," and then set it aside, didn't even open it to see what it was, how would I feel? Well, I know how I'd get mad. That's what I do. Because that's me. But, you know, really, I would be disappointed and just not understand what my kid's doing. And yet, that's what we do with God and the gifts that he places in us. We take them sometimes and we just set them aside. Oh, they're pretty. They're really nice. That's beautiful. But we don't unwrap it. We don't want to unwrap it and get inside of it and see, "God, what is this all about? Why are you gifting me? What is it you want me to do? Help me to be everything you want me to be." Last thing I want to share with you this morning is spiritual gifts and gifts of the Spirit. Now, this is really important, and I don't want to confuse anybody. But I got to tell you, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11, we're not going to read through all that, but we do have it up there, so maybe we will. Okay. I'm just showing the different giftings. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11, talks about spiritual gifts. And on second thought, I guess we should look at this. So if you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is really important. It starts out, the Apostle Paul starts off right from the beginning. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." So he's saying, listen, I don't want you to misunderstand anything. I want you to have a full understanding about these spiritual gifts. Now, these are grace gifts. These are gifts that the Holy Spirit imparts to people. "You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I made known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation," listen closely, But the manifestation of the Spirit, if given to each one for the profit of all, so that everyone in the body can profit. For to one is given this word of wisdom, to another through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right. Now, like I said, I don't want to confuse anybody, but I want you to understand that there, the way I see the scripture, I see gifts of the spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, all those ministering, leadership, administration, all those gifts that are listed up there, and the scriptures are there if you want to look those up. All those things, craftsmen, music, intercession, deliverance, these are spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts are the labors in the body of Christ. Now, I've worked construction for a few years. And when I was working construction, I worked in a union. And on a job site, when I worked at a power plant, there were many different crafts there. There were carpenters, there were electricians, there were plumbers, there were boiler makers, there were all laborers, there were all kinds of different crafts. They're working, doing their job. They were the laborers, they were the workers. And this is the same way that I see the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts are the laborers in the body of Christ, the people that are gifted with the ability to be able to do these things. Okay? But each one of those crafts had different tools that they used. And a plumber wouldn't use an electrician's tools, and an electrician wouldn't use a carpenter's tools. They all had their own tools that they used. Now, here's the difference in the body of Christ. We have spiritual gifts, and then this list that I just read to you, I call them gifts of the Spirit. Now, it's a little play on words, I realize that, but I do that in my own mind because I see a difference in the operation of these things. What I see with spiritual gifts is people who have been gifts placed in their lives, and they're able to do work and ministry. I see the gifts of the Spirit as tools that each and every one of us can use as God gives us, as the Holy Spirit distributes in our lives, to be able to minister effectively to people wherever we go, whether it's in the church or in the community. Now, I hope I haven't confused you with this. Yeah, I know. But I just want you to see that I see these things in a way. Let's talk about musicians. We have wonderful worship this morning. Thank you, Stephanie, for coming, being a part. We have gifted musicians, you know, and these people have talent and abilities, and I believe it's more than just talent. I believe it's spiritual gifts that are imparted. You can have all kinds of talented people in, doing different things, but particularly in music, there's a lot of talented people out there. Not all of them are anointed and gifted to do what. Recently, there's been two or three worship leaders who have denied their faith in Jesus Christ. What happened? There was no real anointing. They had great talent. There's no real anointing in their life. They didn't have the gifting. You know, we sometimes grab people because they have talent and we put them on stage in front of people. Paul warned us about that. He said, don't put a novice in a position like that. And that's what happens. These young people are placed up there. They haven't even decided how faithful they're going to be to the Lord. And they're put in positions of power and authority where they affect other people's lives. And one day they say, I can't handle this. I don't love the Lord like I thought I did. Whatever. That's why we have situations like that. So when we talk about gift, we're talking about something totally different than talent. Talent can be used in the gifting. There's no doubt about that. But as our musicians were up here this morning playing, had they all been up here pretending like they had guitars or had a drum or whatever, or keyboard, it'd been a pretty miserable morning in worship, wouldn't it? We need that beat. We need that sound. They were using the tools that they had. And that's the same way with spiritual gifts and gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are these tools that are available to God's people to be able to minister in an effective way. When I'm in a situation where I don't know what's going on and I need to pray for somebody, God can impart a word of wisdom so that I understand what's happening. I'm doing my job as a pastor. That's my calling. That's my gifting. But a tool came available for me to be able to minister to people. Words of knowledge, tongues interpretation, these are all tools. We get all tore up about somebody speaking in tongues. Well, if we can just realize that that's just a tool that God is using to speak into to the body of Christ. The other tool is interpretation of tongues. These are just tools. Let's pick these tools up and use them like tools and stop worrying about whether we have this one or that one or the other one. Let's just use what God imparts to us. These spiritual gifts are the things that we have up there on the screen. Also, put up the gifts of the Spirit. You have those? Okay. The gifts of the Spirit, and we're going to begin looking at this next week and dissect these a little bit so that we can understand how they operate. But as we can see, we've got them put in different categories: revelation gifts, power gifts, and vocal gifts. And these gifts operate when the body of Christ allow them to operate to fulfill the full, complete, total ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in the church and outside of the church. And without those gifts operating, we are operating without the fullness of what God wants for us. We're missing the mark. They need to be in operation. I'm about to wrap this message up. Stephanie, if you want to come on up. Next week, as we continue with this message, I'll begin to talk about these individual gifts, how they operate and how they can operate here, how they need to continue to operate. They operate often in this place, and I'm very thankful for that. And how that we just need to embrace them. If somebody operates in one of these gifts, don't get all tore up over it. Don't get excited. Just let God be God. Let's see what happens. Sometimes people will speak a word of prophecy into your life, and if that prophecy does not hit home with you, the prophetic word, God has not already placed that in your heart, you need to just put that on the shelf and let God speak to you about it or not worry about it. God always speaks to an individual first before he uses the prophetic ministry or word of wisdom or word of knowledge to confirm what he's doing in your life. God is not going to tell somebody else what he wants you to do or how he wants you to handle a situation until he tells you first. It's only, these ministry gifts are only confirmation of what God is doing in our life. Stand with me. many years ago, T.L. Osborne started an evangelistic ministry, and T.L. was a world-renowned evangelistic preacher, pastor, teacher. He passed away in 2013. But at the age of 15, he heard the call of God, and he began to prepare himself for ministry, and he believed that God was calling him into evangelistic ministry, worldwide mission ministry. In 1945, T.L. and Daisy Osborne went to India to minister. And while they were there, they spent a whole year ministering to people in India. And after that year was over, they left India broken, sick, just defeated. They came back to the States and they began to pray and ask God, you know, what happened? Nothing took place. People's lives were not changed. Why? Well, during that period of time, T.L. Osborne received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in his life. And he went to a ministry. William Branham was a great evangelist and healing pastor of that time. And he went to one of his meetings, and he sat in that meeting, and many things were taking place. There were healings and deliverance. But T.L. said that one of the things he remembered was a young lady came up, and she was deaf, and she couldn't speak. And William Branham spoke to the Spirit, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I adjure you to come out of her. And the young lady immediately could hear and began to learn to speak right away. He said when he saw that, he was amazed, of course, but he said the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, you can do that. So not too long after that, T.L. Osborne and Daisy went back out on the mission field and evangelizing. And from that point on, things were different. He had supernatural power in his life. The gifts of the Spirit were operating in his life. He took the evangelistic gift that God had placed in him, and now he had the tools that were necessary to minister to people. Thousands of people heard T.L. Osborne preach and teach the Word of God. 50,000 in India at times would come to his crusades. He went to other places, hundreds of thousands. 100,000 people actually showed up for one of his crusades. Why? Because it wasn't just the message, it was the confirmation of the message through healing and deliverance and all the power of God being released. The tools were available, and he used those tools. His life changed, and other people's lives changed. The tools are available to God's people. They're here, they're for us. We just need to walk in it. Ask God, Father God, give me the tools necessary. When I minister to somebody, whatever tool it is that I need, impart that into my life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you give us your gifts and you provide your tools along with it. You don't leave us helpless. You give us everything we need to be able to accomplish what you've called us to do. Father God, today we praise you and I thank you for your impartation of spiritual gifts in people's lives, that they will become aware of what it is that you have gifted them with. And Lord, they will begin to pick up the tools that you have provided to be able to minister on a daily basis, whether it's to family, to friends, to other people, wherever they go. Lord, your supernatural experience, your power will be released in Jesus' name. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. As we go from this place, we give you glory and honor in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. Have an awesome day. Remember, love never fails.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.